You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 37 for September 24th, 2012.
Welcome to the podcast, where we talk about all kinds of running topics, from our training to marathons and 5Ks and anything else that we can think of. Right? Did I leave everything off?
No.
Okay.
Anything we can think of, I think, pretty much covers it.
Covers everything, right?
Yeah.
See, what do we got? Quiet week this week, I think?
Yes.
Not too much going on. Just training, I guess we could say.
Post-Ragnar
recovery.
Some Ragnar withdrawals.
Ragnar withdrawals. We were kind of making jokes between some of our friends, like on like what constitutes like Ragnar withdrawals.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, you were driving in your car, you see
a
runner.
I saw a runner, and I, you know, automatically reach for the cowbell, but you know, there's no cowbell there, and it's just a random runner.
Yeah, I was joking. I went to Safeway grocery store, hopped out the car, and I'm like, oh, where's the exchange? And I'm like, oh no, I'm really here to buy groceries. So, yeah, so that's a little bit getting over the Ragnar fever and kind of getting back to normal running. Our next Ragnar is going to be pretty far off whenever that's going to be. But I guess let's jump into how our weeks went. You want to go ahead and go first?
It doesn't matter. You want to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I had an okay week. I did 35 and a half miles running this week. I did, I think I ran 4 days. And I actually had a long run, which I haven't really had in a while. I don't think I've had in a little while. So did a 17 miler yesterday. We actually went out and did long runs together, but not together. I mean, we like went out there together. We went to Iron Horse Trail, which we've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of a paved long bike path, I guess, that, you know, that people use, you know, bike, walk, run, walk their dogs, all that kind of thing. So we went out there together, kind of started together, but just kind of do our long run separately, I guess is the best way to describe
it. We start
it,
at the same spot and we finish at the same spot.
Exactly.
That's about it.
We're out there at the same time. So anyways, got a 17 miler and felt pretty good, actually. Felt better than I thought it would, since I hadn't done a long run in a while. But actually ended up shorting my week a little bit on my marathon training. I think I shorted it about 5 miles or something like that. So, but still, it was a pretty good week. I felt pretty good. And I also got on the spinner 2 times this week, so that was pretty good. I'm trying to keep it at about 2 or 3 if I can. And then did weight training again. I've been pretty consistent with it for the most part. So I got, four days in for weight training. So I think that was, oh, can I do my toenail update?
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Which I haven't done in a long time because there hasn't been anything to update. So if you guys listen to episodes in the past, I was doing a toenail update for a while when one of my toenails turned black, but you know, it was still attached. Well, apparently it was no longer black, but yesterday I was just kind of, you know, doing my nails, trimming my nails, and it just fell off. So yeah, that was kind of bizarre. Painless though, completely painless, and now I have a brand new baby toenail growing.
So we really don't need to do any more updates
I guess
on that toenail
not.
Because you don't have it anymore.
Exactly. Well, I have a new one growing. You didn't even want to look at it.
No, you tried to show me. I was like, eh,
it's not bad.
I don't want to see it.
It's not bad. So
I don't
want
to think about losing toenails. So,
but it didn't. I mean, it hurt. It hurt before when it turned black or gray or whatever color it turned. But you know, yet when I was kind of, I was just like, oh, it's detached. Oh, okay, yeah, I could actually just pull this right off. So I did, anyways.
But if you run long enough as a runner, you know, you'll eventually lose.
It's gonna happen.
The toenail once, probably.
Yeah, if not multiple times, we'll see. So how was your week?
Well, before we get to that, you said you did 17 on. As on Sunday as your long run. I should say we're recording this on Monday.
Yes.
You said that was your longest run that you've done outside?
Oh, that's
training?
Right. Yeah, that's my longest training run I've done outdoors.
Like ever?
Ever.
So like in when you've trained for marathons in the past, you did 20 milers, but
right.
You did them on a treadmill.
Right.
Which is crazy to me. But,
yeah. I know it's crazy to a lot of people.
So 17 outside, was it way easier than a treadmill?
Or
not a big difference for you?
Yes and no. I would say easier in the sense that there was stuff to look at. There was people to look at. I'm not like staring at, you know, one thing for hours on end. I think more difficult in the sense that there's people to avoid and you kind of have to pay attention, make sure you're not getting, you know, run over by a bike or running into a dog or something. Weather is a little bit of a factor, mm-hmm. which actually is a good thing for me that, you know, I need to be outside more. And running more to get used to it. Yeah, to it kind of warming up and that sort of thing. And not as easy access to restrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously at the gym, you're on a treadmill, you go to the bathroom, stop, walk to the bathroom. and come right back and pick up your run again. So,
and you got to carry all your water. No, right. Just throwing it on the treadmill or keeping it in a bag.
Exactly.
Or anything like that.
But I definitely, I think am liking, I mean, granted it was one so far that I've done outdoors, but I really enjoyed it. And I didn't really have a problem carrying my water because I took my Nathan, I forgot what it's called, my...
Quick Draw.
No. Quick Draw was the... I had my
back. Oh, yeah, that's right. You had your vest.
Yeah. So I had that. I think I talked about that before. So I had that, filled it up with water, and, you know, had enough room for everything that I needed, like some goos and some honey stinger chews. That's kind of what I go with. My phone, et cetera. So, yeah, it wasn't too bad, you know, carrying it with me. So, yeah.
All right.
Okay. I guess your week. I was going to say your run, but your week. You did more than one run.
It's not much. Yeah, it was barely more than one run. My week was kind of a mixed bag, I guess. I was supposed to run 4 days. I ran two. Sorry to say.
no, that's not, based on your marathon training plan. Yeah.
Right. Training for CIM. We say that every week, which is December 2nd. Which is getting closer. I think now it's 69 days away, maybe.
Is it?
Something like that. I have some little app on my phone to keep reminding me of that so I don't lose track. But I was supposed to run Monday. I think I was supposed to do a 4-miler, which I kind of blew off because I was really sore from Ragnar still.
Yeah.
And then we were recording this podcast. Right. So between being tired and not having really much time, I kind of threw that run out the window. Wednesday was scheduled to do a 7-mile run, which I did. Actually cut it a little bit short. It was like 6.7 or something like that, but that's close enough. And I cut it short because when I happened to get back to the house, that's just where it was, and I just cut it there. And I feel like running down the rest of the street to turn around and come right back. But I did a little bit different. I ran like immediately when I got home from work,
which before normally you
I
ate don't.
Dinner, which I never do. Normally, because by the time I get home from work, I'm just kind of starving and want dinner. So,
yeah.
So my normal routine is like dinner, wait like an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, and then go for my run. But I kind of wanted to get it out of the way to make sure I do it, and then do it just before it gets dark, kind of. So it was actually funny because the first 2 miles, I felt horrible because my legs were still sore from Ragnar.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in the past, you know, maybe I would have just packed it in after a mile and been like, oh, my legs are too beat up, I'm calling it quits. But I had to get my 7 because that was on the training plan. Like I said, I like to stick to my training plan.
Yeah.
And then after 2 miles, I kind of like my legs loosened up, warmed up, and I felt much better after that. So worked out pretty well.
Glad you stuck with it then, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like the 1 mile. Because I would have been super bummed had I missed a run and then gone out and done a mile. That would have been a lot of pressure on myself at the end of the week. So
yeah.
And then I think like Friday, I was supposed to go out and do 4 miles according to the training plan, which I don't know what happened on Friday. I ended up just kind of blowing that run off for no particular reason. I guess I should have gone out. I was kind of short on time. I would have been really late on a Friday night for me to go out. And that's always tough to get out for a run on a Friday night sometimes. Sometimes it feels really good to run on a Friday, and sometimes it's like really hard to run on a Friday.
Maybe depending on how your week's been.
I guess so. So then Sunday, you talked about long runs. We went out to do long runs. You did 17. Actually, I ran longer than you. Did 15.
Yeah.
Which is my longest training run outside, inside,
just ever.
Actually my longest run outside of the one we did, that Dirty Dozen endurance race where I did 20 miles,
right?
But that was kind of a 3-mile loop and you could take breaks in between,
so definitely different than just going out and doing your long training, right, run.
Very different. This is just, you know, 15 miles, just kind of bang it out. You know, besides that, like my longest is like 13, which has been half marathons. So it felt really good for 11 miles, felt really bad for the next four. You know, I was just kind of just tired, beat up. I mean, that's kind of what you expect. Started to warm up a bit. The sun started to hit me. I always complain about the heat. You know, to me, I'm always hot. So I didn't enjoy
it. It was warm.
Yeah, it was getting warm. And then right where we were kind of doing, you know, the end of our run, kind of back to the car, it's like all exposed. So you're kind of all in the sun. We're kind of in the middle of the run. There's lots of shade, which felt much better. But overall, I was, you know, my pace, it's funny, my pace really dipped off the last 4 miles, which maybe I should have ran the first 11 a little bit slower in retrospect. But overall, I'm pretty happy with the pace that I ran. I felt super tired after the run, super beat up. Felt better than I did after Virginia Beach still, though. But
yeah. You so looked like you felt better.
I looked better. I didn't look like totally crushed. But yeah, I felt pretty good. I was really sore the rest of the day, stiff. Today, that was yesterday. So today I actually feel surprisingly good.
Mm-hmm.
Still a little bit sore, kind of going up and down stairs. But other than that, I feel really good considering I did 15. So I'm taking that as a positive. I think you asked me yesterday if I felt, after doing the 15, more confident for the marathon or less confident. And I think at the time I said less confident.
Yeah.
Just because I was like, okay, that was 15. That was kind of brutal at the end. And I'm still going to have to do 11 more miles on top of that. Seems like a lot. But today I feel a little bit better.
Good.
So I guess maybe just always ask me like 2 days later.
Right.
To get the real answer.
Well, I kind of always like to see what...
how it changes.
Right. Because I know I do that too. Like after doing CIM for the first time, I think you asked me like... within the next hour or two, you're like, are you thinking of doing another marathon? I was like, nah, I think I'm done. Mm-hmm. Like, I've done it. I think I'm good. And here I am. And I'm training for, like, my third.
The next one.
So, yeah, it's just kind of funny to see how it changes over time, mm-hmm. whether it's a day or longer.
So, now,
were you, before your long run, were you, like, nervous about it? Or is this, like, the longest you've
Yeah, I was thinking about it a lot. I was talking about it a lot. I was, you know, it was kind of good that what we did was an out and back. So I was like, well, I know I can go 7.5 miles, no problem. And then, well, once I go 7.5 miles, I got to get back to the car. Right. So I'm kind of stuck, you know.
You're going to have to get back one way or another.
It's either I'm going to run 7.5 back to the car, or I'm just going to walk 7.5 back to the car, and it's going to take forever.
Yeah.
So I wasn't too worried about it. I kind of treated it like I'm starting to really try to think about how the marathon's going to go. So actually, I think I wore yesterday what I'm going to wear.
Ah, okay.
At the marathon. So I actually wore the shorts that I think I'm going to wear for the marathon, and I wear the shirt that I think I'm going to wear, just because I want to make sure that what I'm going to wear for 26 miles is comfortable and,
right.
you know, no chafing issues or anything like that.
Yeah, that's a good point, trying stuff out. I know we've mentioned it before, but trying things out on training runs before race day, whether that's, you know, shirts or
shoes, socks.
Yeah, whatever
yeah,
it may
so
be.
I'm
hat, glasses, I don't know, whatever it could be.
Yeah, so I think I'm dialed in with the clothing. I'm still concerned about how I'm going to carry all the goo
that I
need to carry. I'm still trying to figure that one out because I'm a pretty slow runner. I was looking at it today, actually. I'm like, is my first marathon going to be like a 5-hour marathon? I'm like, that's a long time to be out there, and that's a lot of goo to be taking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how the heck am I going to carry all this goo? Because I don't run with a fuel belt. I guess you would call them, you know, or Amphipod, where you'd have like your little bottles and spots to carry all your stuff. I don't like the belt thing.
You basically just pack it like into your shorts, right?
Right. So I have shorts that I think I talked about before that I got from REI that has a big pocket in the back that I can shove like 4 goos in there.
Yeah.
But I mean, even that's kind of tight, and I'm kind of worried about them falling out. But anything beyond that is just in their normal short pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Or I was actually trying to see if I could find like a hat that you can put the goos like in the hat.
Yeah, I know you're looking at some that.
Because I saw that at a race once, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, you know? And I saw one brand yesterday that did it, but I'm still kind of looking for if there are any other options in that regard. But that's kind of what I'm worried about, and I'm going to be trying to figure out. I was also trying to figure out in the long run, like, when I should take my goos.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I took my first goo, like, at 3 miles, because I didn't really eat anything that morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I took 3 during the 15-mile run. So I think I took it, like, at 3... and then like 4 after that. So it would have been like around 7, 7.5. And then I had another goo, I think at 11 for sure.
So you had 3?
It's 3 the whole time for a 15 mile run. So I'm kind of working on the nutrition thing and trying to figure out exactly what I'm going to be doing.
Go ahead.
I'm just kind of like, I'll feel more confident at the marathon if I know exactly kind of what the plan is.
Yeah. And if you've like practiced it on your previous long runs.
Although I'm still a little worried because for CIM, you can look at the map and it tells you exactly where the aid stations are, but they still haven't announced what the electrolyte drink is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it going to be Gatorade, Powerade? What is it, Cytomax?
Yeah, I think last time it was either Cytomax or Ultima.
Okay.
It was one of those two. I can't remember which one, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't Gatorade. And
so I just kind of want to know so I can actually try drinking that in my training.
Right.
Because I normally drink Gatorade. And if it's going to be something else, I'd like to drink a little bit of that on some long runs just to kind of try it out. So we'll see. I'll check back on their webpage to see if they've posted anything new on that. So
while we're talking about nutrition, though, are you thinking of, like, do you normally not eat something or not eat much before your long runs? And is that what you're going to try to do for the marathon?
I'm not sure. I'm still kind of working on that.
Okay.
I normally have something before, like, a half marathon. So sometimes what I'll do is I buy these weird muffin packs. Are they muffins? I guess packs of muffins.
Yeah.
It's like the little mini muffins or something like that. They're like chocolate chip muffins. Okay, I'm trying to remember.
Here's some expert advice.
No, don't do what I'm doing. You know, this is probably not the way to do it. But I think I kind of have, in general, a sensitive stomach. So whatever I find that doesn't upset my stomach, I'll just stick to that, whether it's supposed to be good for you or not supposed to be good to you. I'm like, I'll just stick with this. So a lot of times I'll eat like the chocolate chip mini muffins. I don't know.
Yeah, that's basically what they are. Yeah. Chocolate chip mini muffins.
So that's kind of the thing that if we were going to do a half marathon or something, I would eat like on the way to the parking lot, if it's like a big rock and roll event, or on the bus to the shuttle bus to the race or something. And then I would usually try to pop a goo like 10 minutes, 15 minutes before the race actually starts. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of been my routine this year. Most of the time is just a little bit something in the morning and then a goo right before the race. So I don't know if that's what I'm going to stick to or not. Also got to figure out what's the best way to eat the day before, like how late in the day to have a big meal.
Mm-hmm.
Because we did Virginia Beach. We kind of had a big meal like at 3 o'clock,
3 p.m. 3 or 3:30, I think.
And then we kind of had a snack later, like at 6 or 7 or something. Mm-hmm. And that actually seemed kind of work okay.
Yeah.
Whereas in the past, we would normally just have like your big dinner at
like 5, 6 or something.
Somewhere in there. So.
And then not feel as well on race day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've done it both ways. We felt good doing that and not felt good doing that. So
true.
That's something to further experiment with, I guess.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, you know, there's only so many long runs between now and the marathon. So there's only so much time to figure this kind of stuff out. So kind of got to get moving and get a grip on this stuff.
Right.
So, the one thing I haven't, you know, you brought up your toenail. I haven't talked about my IT band in a long time, which is, for the most part, has been much better than it was like 4 months ago. My IT band did start bothering me like around once I got past mile 13, which is, I was kind of laughing because I'm like, okay, my IT band like just likes to do half marathons.
And then it's done.
And then it's just kind of like, whoa, wait a minute. We're going beyond what we're supposed to be doing here. What's going on? So it kind of bothered me more the last 2 miles. But today, kind of a day later, it's not bugging me any more than normal. So
well, that's good.
I'll take that as a positive.
Yeah.
As long as it's
not any worse after 15 miler.
Yeah, the problem is going to be if I'm doing a full marathon and it's fine for 13 and it hurts for 13, that's going to be a real long finish to the race. But
well, hopefully as time goes on, you know, if you start adding mileage, then maybe it'll start hurting at like 15 or 16 mm-hmm. versus 13 or something like that.
Now, we were on this trail. You were mentioning there's a lot of people walking their dogs and mm-hmm. people on bikes. I did actually almost like run into somebody on a bike.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of ran into each other at like 0.2 miles per hour.
0.2 miles?
No, it was kind of like in slow motion. We basically just both stopped like staring right at each other.
I'm trying to like envision that like you guys just stop and stare like, which way are you going, dude?
Well, I was like, sorry, but really it's like a bike trail. So people, you know, you kind of stay on the right side.
Right. Unless you're going to pass or something.
Right.
Yeah, but then you got to look and make sure.
So I was sticking to my right side, and he was sticking to his left side.
That's all on him then.
And so as we got closer, I'm like, I'm just moving more to the right. And he just kind of kept moving more to his left, which was my right.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of came to a dead halt in front of each other. I was like, I just said sorry. But I was like, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah, you're on the wrong side of the road, dude.
I'm like, you're killing me. I'm glad like we both actually stopped. Otherwise, yeah, I don't know. That would not have been good, actually.
Yeah.
So that was...
Even at 0.2 miles per hour, that would not have been good. So did you run on the paved part for the most part, or did you run on the dirt, too?
I actually mixed it up.
Okay.
Because, there's, like, dirt along the side that's kind of packed from runners. And I kind of mixed it up just because, you know, I like running on dirt. It's a lot less pounding on my body. You know, I seem to really notice a difference, but I'm also, in my mind, I'm like, well, when we do the marathon, that's going to be all on asphalt. So
I thought you were just gonna say the first part of that word for a second. I was like, wait a minute, what?
No, it's gonna be all on streets. So I figured, you know, I don't want to go out there and do all this running on
like dirt
and then
get
to the marathon and be like on the streets all the time.
Yeah, different surface.
Because we go out to that Iron Horse Trail, and I think that's probably where I plan on doing most, if not all, of my remaining long runs, training for the mm-hmm. For the full marathon. Just because it's a good place, and it's, you know, We didn't even run out of trail. I think the trail is like at least 10 miles one way. I think it's actually more. Might even be like 18 miles one way. So,
although yesterday was the furthest north I've gone on that trail.
Me too.
So I was like, oh, okay, this is what it looks like. Like after 6 or 7 miles from where we leave our car usually.
Yeah, and thankfully I took my Nathan Quick Draw bottle, which is a 22-ounce bottle.
Right.
I took it with Gatorade. And I was a little bit worried because the first water fountain that I was kind of counting on to refill was broken, basically. Didn't work, but there was one kind of way out close to, actually right where I turned around at 7.5 miles, mm-hmm. that worked nicely. But I was like worried. I was like, oh, do I need to start managing or rationing the rest of my Gatorade? But thankfully that water was there. So, and now I know exactly where it's at, and hopefully it'll work the rest of the time.
Yeah. Although like 4 or 5 miles, I think maybe about 4.5 miles from our car, there's like a little bit of a, I don't know if it's a downtown area, but there's like some shops and stuff. So if you really got desperate, you could pop in there. There's like a grocery store and stuff.
Yeah.
If you actually needed to, you could go in there.
Yeah. I actually threw a $20 bill in my, well, in case you see me out there, I threw a $2 bill.
He had a dollar.
I took a quarter. I threw a $20 bill in there in case I needed to go buy some Gatorade or something like that. Cause I wasn't sure about the water fountains or where to go. So, cause yeah, for my run, I did 15 miles and I think I was out there for 2 hours and 50 minutes. I think I ran like 11:30 pace. Mm-hmm. I did do kind of a run walk thing. I set my app for 6 minute running, 1 minute walking.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of pretty much loosely stuck to that. So, and I think for the rest of my long runs for the training, I think I'm going to try to do like a 6:1, 7:1, something like that as we go. Kind of make sure I can do the distance.
Yeah.
Cause I'm not worried about time for this marathon at all.
Right.
So if I'm out there for it's 5 hours, finishing. 6 hours, as long as I make the cutoff, that's all I
exactly.
care about.
So. About finishing.
So yeah, so that's our week. What are we talking about today? I'll mention, I think Boston Marathon registration continues today. It's not sold out yet. I won't go over the details of that cause I don't know what they are. I haven't paid much attention. I mentioned that I think last week or the week before.
Yeah. They basically do it. I think you mentioned it last time, kind of based on not just meeting the qualifying times that they have for the various age groups, but whoever like beat it by the most, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, gets to kind of register first or sign up first. So I wonder, I mean, I'm curious to see what they're at now, but
I think they're getting pretty close to full.
From right. But I mean, like in terms of like who's able to register right now,
I think it's just as long as you meet the qualifying standard.
Oh, okay.
Register now. I think that's my understanding.
That's cool.
So, what else is going on? Oh, I mentioned an app. I always run with my iPhone. I use the app Run Meter, which my biggest complaint in the past about the app was no shoe tracking and no good graphs. They solved one issue with
you and your graphs.
I like graphs, you know. I talked about MyXL running along in the past because I like my graphs.
Yeah.
But Run Meter, their 8.0 update, they did add shoe tracking in.
There so you I'm go.
Super psyched that I can track my shoes. It's not the easiest thing to do in the app. You kind of have to dive into it and pick your shoe and then kind of go back to where you start and finish your run type of thing. It's not like right on the very first screen where you can pick your shoe type of thing.
But at least you have a place in Run Meter to track your shoes.
To do it, yeah. So I actually haven't even tried it out yet because I think I just updated the app like yesterday after I ran. So I'll give that a shot this week. But if you do use Run Meter, because I know I've talked several of my friends actually into using Run Meter. Although I think it's like a $3 app now. It used to be $5, I think, when I got it a long time ago. But that's a welcome addition. What else is going on? Rock and Roll Marathon Series, which we talk about a lot because we've done a lot of races. Mm-hmm. We have another one coming up.
Coming up next month.
The rumor on the internet today is that competitor group has actually been sold.
That's interesting.
So that just kind of hit the web today. And I think that was an editor from Runner's World that mentioned that on I think it was runtext.com. And a couple other people kind of picked up the story that it might have been sold to the same company that owns the Tour de France.
Right.
Which they actually do a couple, I think they do the Paris Marathon and a Barcelona Marathon.
Oh.
Along with a couple other events. But the rumor is that that competitor group, which owns Rock and Roll, along with Competitor Magazine mm-hmm. and are they the ones that do Muddy Buddy?
Yeah, they do Muddy Buddy and they do
I think it's like a triathlete
they
magazine.
Do something else too, some
couple other
race.
Things. So yeah, it'll be interesting if that has sold and then what that will mean for the future of Rock and Roll. I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure it's gonna stick around kind of in the same fashion it is now, but you know, you never know with new ownership. Is that gonna get a little bit better? Is it gonna get a little bit worse?
Totally different.
Totally different. Who knows?
Although it's interesting if this is the case. You know, I know this year I think they're really trying to branch out to some international places. So they have a couple you know, in Europe actually mm-hmm. that either took place or are taking places here. So I wonder if they're gonna try to do more of those kind mm-hmm. of international races. If now the group that owns them or owns competitor group is actually, right. you know, I think in Europe.
Yeah.
are based out of Europe.
Although the interesting thing is with this company that I guess from France or from Europe that might be buying it, they're probably more interested in adding more U.S. events, you know, if they're already overseas. So this might be a way for them to kind of do more in the U.S.
Okay.
But expanding into Europe would probably be a real easy thing for that organization. Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. We'll see what happens. We're doing Rock and Roll San Jose in 2 or 3 weeks.
2 weeks.
4 weeks. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Okay. Sooner than I thought.
4 weeks. Yeah, that's a different race.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's that. What else are we going to talk about on the rundown here? I promised this in the past to talk about our shirts from Ragnar, which I think a lot of people saw. We put some pictures up on our Facebook page from Ragnar Napa Valley. I said I was going to mention it in the past about the shirts. We ordered our shirts from customink.com.
Mm-hmm.
So not a sponsor, but we actually had a really good experience with them after, you know, last year kind of being a lot more difficult to get shirts. So, you know, typical for Ragnar, you kind of, everybody, you know, you pick a design and a team name and a theme or whatever. And usually most teams go out there and buy everybody on the team this custom shirt.
Right.
Which most of the time is kind of a pain to do.
Yeah.
To kind of get shirts.
If you're the person in charge of it, essentially.
Which kind of, I guess,
as captain,
yeah,
that kind of falls to you.
Yeah, fell to me. So, but we used Custom Ink this year, which was a really good experience. I mean, I would totally recommend them.
Yeah.
We actually, before we went with them, they have like online chat, so we actually asked them a bunch of questions before we kind of got going. They answer all those quickly and easily, mm-hmm. and gave us the answers, you know, we were hoping for and needed. They have a pretty easy online kind of editor where you kind of put the stuff together. And you can kind of see exactly what your shirt's going to look like.
Yeah,
you
get a pretty good idea.
Mm-hmm. I think their runtime is like, their standard runtime to get the shirts to you is 2 weeks. So I think we ordered them like 3 weeks out, so it was no problem. But they mm-hmm. even asked me, you know, is 2 weeks okay? Do you need them sooner? I'm assuming you can get them rushed even faster if you need them to.
Right.
The one thing I didn't even pay attention is how long it actually took till we got the shirts delivered to us. Might have been a couple of days short of 2 weeks.
I think so.
I think it was like 2 days
early.
So that was kind of cool. Like I said, real easy process. You got to see the shirts before you order them. You kind of upload your graphics, pick your names and all that stuff. I had to order over the phone. You can do it online. I had to do it over the phone because we ordered men's and women's shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have a way to do it online where you can kind of pick two different style of shirts.
Right, like men's and women's.
Yeah, so I actually had to call in the order, which was no problem, real easy. The guy was super helpful. He actually takes a look at the graphics and the design right away. Actually told me that one of the logos I think that I had on the back of the shirt wasn't a high enough resolution, so they were going to have to redo that. But it was a simple logo anyways, but they were actually going to redo that for free.
Yeah, it was like no additional cost to basically make it better. And I think they even had to change the sizes of one of the logos, I think, that went on, I can't remember if it was the front or the back of the shirt. I think it was the back of the shirt, just because it had to fit, you know, various shirt sizes, you know, like from men's like extra large to like a women's small. So I think they had to like resize that too. But yeah, they just kind of did that on their own. I mean, we didn't have to.
Well, they actually sent me an email saying uh-huh. they were going to do that. So after I put the order in initially, you know, their process is they have one of their in-house designers kind of take a look at it to make sure everything's kind of good to go and there's not going to be any problems. And one of the things was they were going to like resize, I think like you said, that back image to make it smaller to fit on the women's small shirts. So I got some kind of update via email notifying me that they made that change, and then they emailed me the final proof to approve,
to check before.
Yeah, they sent me a text to also let me know like, oh, the proof is ready for your approval. So approve that, and then it was just wait around. So you know, as far as cost, I thought it was pretty reasonable.
I think so.
We ordered the technical fabric tees. The only downside was, you know, we ordered blue shirts. We thought they were going to be a little bit lighter.
Yeah, they looked like a lighter shade of blue when you looked at the example
online.
So ended up being darker than what we anticipated.
Right, but still totally fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would totally recommend them if you're doing Ragnar or you got a club or something that you need shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to do screen printing, which is what we had done, I think the minimum is only 4 shirts.
Yeah, whereas other places you might have to have like 10 or 15 or something 20, like that. Yeah, to do the screen.
You know, in the old days you had to go to a local printer, you know, and they only want to do them if it's 20, 50, 100 right. shirts. And
worth like making the I don't know what you call it.
Yeah, to make the whole run. So,
right.
Yeah, and I think on our shirts it was included two colors. So usually when you do screen printing, you kind of pay by, you know, additional colors or there's an additional cost of that. But this was kind of two colors included, and that was front and back printing. So,
and then, of course, you have the option of doing, like, printing on the sleeve, you know, for additional cost. Mm-hmm. So you could always do that, too.
Yeah, I really wanted to do, like, something on the sleeve, but I think it would have added another $3 or $5 per shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, that's really not worth it. So we skipped out on that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, a pretty good experience. And I think we'll probably use them again whenever we do our next Ragnar.
Yeah, I don't see why not. If we do
shirts again. I think there is another t-shirt company that's kind of hooked up with Ragnar that seems pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go with them because I think you have to order from them a month out.
Yeah, yeah, I think you have to have your stuff together pretty far in advance.
We don't get our stuff together for Ragnar that soon. So,
yeah.
I think we were still finalizing team names, probably.
Well, month and a half, no, probably not. Like yeah.
But yeah, it's always weird because you never know if everybody wants a shirt or doesn't want a shirt. And it's kind of like once half the team wants a shirt, then, you know, everybody should get a shirt because otherwise you're going to look kind of odd in the team pictures kind of without the matching shirt and stuff. But yeah, that works out. Give them a try if you're looking for shirts for your club or your Ragnar team or whatever relay you're doing. So.
And just an aside, I'm looking at their site right now, and they also do things other than just shirts, aside from just regular t-shirts and tech shirts. They do sweats, they do hats, bags. So they have all kinds of different things that they can do.
Yeah,
now, we only had an experience with the tech shirts themselves, but they can print on a lot of different things. So they offer a lot of different products.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Before we ordered the shirts, and I was just kind of trying to figure out where to go to do them. And I think I just randomly found them online. But after we actually ordered the shirts, I think, or got the shirts, or I don't know when it was. Actually saw a TV ad for them.
Yeah, and then we saw them in a magazine.
And then we saw them, I think they were in Runner's World
magazine.
So I don't know how I missed them. I'm sure they've been around for a long time, but I just thought it was funny kind of after we do this. Then I see the ad in the magazine and then the ad on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually saw the ad on TV when we were in DC.
Yeah. We're like, hey, that's what we used. But I don't remember ever seeing an ad for them before or anything like that. So I was very happy with them.
Yeah, I was too. So, what else we got today? I guess we're going to talk about two timers. And no, we're not talking about your cheating husband or wife or spouse or anything like that. We're talking about doing back-to-back races.
Yes, right? Like in the same weekend.
Same weekend?
Yeah.
So how about same day? I think that would qualify.
Yeah, that would qualify, but that's just crazy.
So, yeah, go ahead. You got the info in front of you.
Yeah, so this is an article out of Runner's World, actually. So we're talking about Runner's World. I think the September issue. Let me double check. Yep. September issue, and it's called Are You a Two-Timer? So it basically just gives this person's experience of doing back-to-back races. Now, this person actually did a 10K and then a 5K later on that day, I think like in the evening. But it has some really good tips about doing other back-to-back races, like if you're doing them like over a weekend, you know, different distances, if you're doing like a 10K, 5K, or vice versa, or if you're doing a half and then a full, like if you were doing Goofy, which this might come in handy for us.
I mean, this is kind of really relevant to us because we did Ragnar, which is
back-to-back-to-back.
I mean, it's really three races in
like 24 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really like 30, but
no, when you run from the time you run to the time you finish your last run, it's within like 24 hours.
Yeah. And you could be running up to 10.
Exactly.
You're doing back-to-back half marathons.
Ah, I forgot about that.
In like a month?
Yes.
Or less than a month?
Less than a month.
So you're actually going to do a trail half marathon on Saturday.
Yeah.
And
then
just a
regular
half marathon on Sunday.
Yep.
And then we're doing Goofy Challenge.
In January.
Mm-hmm. So really relevant to us.
So hopefully somewhat relevant to you guys, or if you guys are training for something like this or ever thought about doing it. So just a couple of tips, five quick tips was, one, choose wisely. So stick to distances you have raced a couple times already. I think that's a pretty good general advice.
Yeah, don't go do back-to-back halves if you've never run a half.
Exactly. Yeah. Although, if it says stick to distances you've raced a couple of times already, that may not apply for Goofy
for
you.
Based on this, I'm breaking rule number one.
Exactly.
Since Goofy would be my second marathon ever and only 6 weeks after my first. But yes, I'm a little crazy and don't do as I do, I guess.
Right. Yeah, don't do the chocolate chip muffins. Don't do... Okay, number two, practice often. 8 weeks out, begin back-to-back training runs. So they give an example. If you're doing... 8 weeks out, do back-to-back training runs. But if you're doing something like a half and then full, then begin 10 weeks out. So it says kind of mimic the race. So if you're doing a 10K on Saturday at a specific time, and on Sunday you're doing a half marathon or something else at a specific time, try to do the workouts at around those same times too. So not only should you kind of try to train for the distances, but also for the time of day that you're doing it. So that really applies, I think, to Ragnar if you're going to try to train for the times that you're going to be running, mm-hmm. although I've never really gone out and run like at 3 a.m. and I'm never really going to unless it's part of a Ragnar or something
We've never really specifically trained like that for Ragnar. We had people on our team that have.
Yeah.
I know of one person that I think at least 2 or 3 times have run like a morning run and then an afternoon run to kind of simulate Ragnar, mm-hmm. to kind of get ready for it. And I think we had one teammate this year who actually did like a morning run and a night run to kind of simulate that.
The one that was in my van?
Your van?
She actually did 3 runs. Like,
She did the full Ragnar.
She tried to do the full Ragnar. Now, I've done, not specifically like to train for Ragnar, but leading up to Ragnar, I've done like a morning run, a night run with you, and then a morning run the next day. So it kind of simulates like how often you're running, although definitely doesn't simulate like the time of day necessarily or the lack of sleep, because I slept, you know, in between those last two, like a normal night. Exactly. Being in a van and nutrition and everything. So number 3 was add mileage. So if the shorter race is first, run 80% of that mileage in workout 1 and 25 to 40% of the longer events mileage in workout 2. So for an example, if you're doing a 10K half marathon double, run 5 miles in your first session and then 3 to 5 miles in the second. So then each week, keep mileage for the first run the same and then add a mile to your second run. And then it does recommend starting your taper 2 weeks out. Although I think it's at 3 weeks if you're doing a half full double.
Yeah, see, this is interesting because in looking ahead to Goofy, I never really, in my head, I was just like training for a marathon in December and then kind of training for a marathon in mid-January. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really approach it or think about it at all as like, well, I need to do something different because this is Goofy. I just figured I'm kind of training for another full.
Right.
And not necessarily paying attention to, hey, this is a half and then a full.
Right.
So now after reading this, I was like, wait a minute. Do I need to worry about, I mean, I kind of think I don't have enough time to kind of worry about or do anything extra in terms of training, but would that have been the ideal date, you know, way to do it? Should I have been training, or should I do some training that's like some Saturday and Sunday longer runs back to back type of thing?
Or even, I mean, maybe not even longer runs, but doing like your scheduled long run on whatever day of the week you're doing it. Say you're doing it Sunday, for example, and then maybe doing a run, just something on Saturday. Before. Or vice versa. If your long run is on Saturday, then still going out there and doing some sort of mileage on Sunday.
Especially for me, because I'm not the guy that likes to run back-to-back days.
Right. So not as much of an issue for me, because I do normally tend to run Saturday and Sunday most of the time.
Sure, you're right in the groove. I'm training for you.
Well, not necessarily on the distance, but
but
as far as back-to-back days, it's pretty, I pretty typically do that. So number 4, I'm not going to spend too much time on it because it says build speed. So it talks about doing repeats. And for me, I think that probably applies if you're doing like a 5K, 10K double. But if you're doing something longer, like for Goofy, I'm not worried about speed. I'm just worried about doing it.
Yeah, I don't think you should be thinking about a PR or running really fast if you're doing back-to-back races.
Yeah.
You know, when you have just one race, go ahead and plan on
doing some speed.
Yeah.
So I just didn't want, I mean, I wanted to mention it because it was listed, but not something that I was really focusing on. And then number 5, if you're pulling a triple.
Which is kind of what Ragnar is.
Yeah, exactly. So it says for 3 events in 1 weekend, do not run 3 times in 2 days during training. There you go. That's what we were just talking about. Like you haven't really done a simulated like Ragnar training. So, cause limited recovery can elevate injury risk. So instead add a third cross training workout like swimming or cycling to offset running's impact. So, and you can time the cross training to coincide with one of your scheduled races. So instead of doing the three runs, do 2 of them and have the third one. I don't think it specifies a third one, but have one of them be cross training.
Mm-hmm.
So cycling, swimming, that's what they give as an example. So
that makes sense. Takes a little pounding off your legs.
Yeah. And then just some information about like nutrition and fueling. So kind of getting ready to go again after one race, but before the next. So one says, you know, restock your glycogen stores immediately by replacing the calories burned in race 1. So roughly 100 calories per mile. So making sure you get nutrition back in your system. Two, restore hydration. So it levels with 32 ounces of sports drink right after the race, mainly for the sodium. And then the last thing is replenish your sodium levels as you hydrate to help with fluid retention. So eat pretzels, nuts, or salted bagels.
So no muffins.
Doesn't muffins.
Yeah, no, I mean, my opinion is I think more important than how you necessarily train, you know, I don't think you really need to train with the kind of back-to-back stuff, but I think the most important thing, at least it would be for me, is going to be your nutrition and hydration in between those races, or like if you're at a Ragnar, that's what's going to have the biggest impact on how you kind of feel and how things go for you, is making sure you drink enough fluids and eat enough food.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I think that's going to make the biggest difference for you.
Yeah, I think I've progressively felt better at Ragnar's, not just because I've just been running longer, you know, and more mileage, but I think also because I've paid a lot more attention to my hydration, you know, and making it a point to make sure I was hydrating in between runs, and then what I was eating too. So yeah, I think that plays a huge role, especially for something like Ragnar. It'll be interesting to see what ends up happening for like Goofy, you know, after the half. You know, obviously make sure we, you know, hydrate, but it'll be interesting to see like what type of foods then are we going to want to eat in between the half marathon and the full.
Yeah, I've got a lot of questions about Goofy. And if there's anybody out there who's done Goofy and has an opinion, you know, drop a note on our Facebook page, or please send us an email. Because my big question is, I don't know if after doing the half on Saturday, should I be going back to the hotel and, you know, chilling and relaxing the rest of the day, kind of staying off the feet, maybe soaking in the pool, you know, doing your hydration thing, make sure you eat well, and then just kind of off to bed and then run the full on Sunday? Or should it be run the half on Saturday and make a concerted effort to do kind of a lot of walking after the half to kind of loosen up the legs? Because, you know, you do tend to stiffen up after a race.
Yeah.
So should I be doing a bunch of walking? You know, should I head to one of the theme parks and walk around for a couple hours? I'm really have no idea what's the best strategy for myself, or in general for anybody to do on that one. Maybe it's both. Maybe it's, you know.
I think it's probably something in the middle. Like, don't just do the half and then go, like, crash out for the rest of the day, you know, and not, you know, move again. But probably don't, don't go out and, like, you know, walk the parks for the rest of the day. Like, maybe something in between. Like, maybe walk around for a while after the race, you know, like, keep moving for a while. But then do give yourself some time to relax for the next day. That's what I'm thinking. I think it kind of needs to be something in between.
In between. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that makes the most sense. But, yeah, I think my urge will be, you know, back to the hotel, take a shower, relax for a little bit, get some food, hit the pool. Sit in the pool, don't move for the next 4 hours.
That's probably not the...
Eat dinner, well, go to bed.
Yeah, I don't think that's probably the best thing to do.
Yeah. It's just...
But that's just from my own personal...
opinion, not having done it. But yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what kind of beats you up at Ragnar sometimes is you do all this running with these back-to-back things and then you're kind of cramped in the van.
Exactly.
Kind of stiffen up and... yeah, I don't like that stiffening up kind of after a race. Like, even after our long runs yesterday, I was like, oh, I got to walk a little bit more, I was thinking. Because if I just sit down or something like that, I stiffen up way too much and it doesn't feel good. And I'm like, that's not active recovery, right?
Even if you really, really want to just sit down or lie down, I think you got to keep moving for a little bit.
Fight the urge. So, yeah, that'll be an interesting question for Goofy. So, if you know, let us... If you have any ideas or opinions or if you've done Goofy, let us know.
Yeah, we welcome any advice
on that
in regards to that. So, yeah. And it actually has, this article actually has a kind of a training plan. Or I guess not a whole training plan, but it has a general guideline for building up to a half/marathon double. So kind of what to do 10 weeks out, 9 weeks out, as far as your Saturday and Sunday workouts or runs.
So what does it have 3 weeks out?
3 weeks out, that is to your begin taper.
So is that the longest run? What's the longest run?
The longest run is 4 weeks out, and it's on Sunday, 22 miles.
What's Saturday, though?
10.
Oh, that's brutal.
And then the second longest is 8 weeks out, which is 10 miles on Saturday and 20 miles on Sunday.
What did I sign up for?
I don't know. Yeah, that'll because you don't have any back-to-back
training. Yeah, because like I said, all my training, I purposely set it up to be basically every other day. Because in my head, when I will be training for Goofy,
it's just another marathon.
It's just another marathon, you know. I figure I'm just going to run the half really slow and run the full even slower and just have fun with it and not worry about time at all. So,
right.
And that's still going to be the plan. So I don't think I'm going to switch after reading this and go,
oh, let me start incorporating back-to-back days.
Yeah. Back-to-back long
runs.
I don't think it's a
smart thing to do at this point.
I want to get there healthy, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
although even before then, I'm a little nervous about my back-to-back halves next month.
Yeah, because we'll have basically probably the toughest trail half that you've done.
Yep.
Followed by, because you're doing, we should say, Rocky Bridge, which is a Brazen Racing event. We talk about them a lot.
Mm-hmm. I haven't talked about them in a while, it feels like. So they're about due.
Yeah, we've stayed away from their races for a while. But that's their trail championship. It's also their toughest trail race of the year.
Right.
So that's really going to kick your butt and be a challenge for you. But I think you'll have fun with that. And then the very next day, you're doing Grape Stomp in Livermore, California, which is a half marathon. You've actually run it for like the last 3 years.
Yeah, that's why I kind of wanted to do it again, because it's like
keep the streak.
This will be if I do it this year, it'll be the half marathon I've done the most times. And then you're doing it, and we know a couple of other people that are doing it too.
Yeah, so. Some of our Ragnar teammates are coming out.
Yeah.
So I think we're actually going to wear our Ragnar. I don't know if we're going to wear our Ragnar finisher shirt, our Ragnar team shirts, but we'll do something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's going to be tough for you.
Right.
I think you're just going to have to go slow on that second day.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think I can't really go slow on the first day because I may just be going slow just because it's going to be a tough trail, half marathon. Mm-hmm. I think I may just kind of take everything I have anyways. So I think the second half is really going to be the Grape Stomp is going to be the one where I'm going to have to, well, not even have to. My body's just going to probably just go slow, which is fine because I'm not going to worry about time or anything like that. I just kind of want to do it to be out there with all you guys. And you know, it's a pretty nice course. They changed it last year.
Mm-hmm. And you're familiar with the course too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know exactly what I'm getting into and
everything.
Maybe how to pace yourself while you're out there.
Right.
Because there are a couple hills.
Yeah.
Not a big deal, but a couple hills out there. Which I biked before, but I've never run this course, so this will be a new one for me. So.
Yeah, they're much longer when you run them than when you bike them.
Yeah,
because I know we've biked them before.
Biking goes a lot quicker, huh?
Yes. Yeah. So I mean, I'm a little worried. I mean, I think I'll be able to get through them. I just don't know how the heck I'm going to feel
afterwards. Well, I'm sure Sunday afterwards you're going to feel like toast.
Right. So I got to make sure I keep moving for a little while.
Yeah. Well, that's good, and maybe I can kind of see what you do on that weekend.
Great.
In between the
I'll
two
be the
races.
Guinea pig.
Yeah, guinea pig if yeah. Was.
Which I mean, yeah, I'm kind of worried about it, but it's probably a good thing for me to do that and have kind of back-to-back races in that sense. It'll give me an idea of what kind of worked well for me, what didn't, you know, before Goofy, even though it's kind of two totally different back-to-back races, but
and
still,
we should say the reason you're doing the back-to-back races is that it just happened to be when the championship was scheduled for that trail series.
Right.
And then this Grape Stomp race, you've done it every year.
Yeah.
And we actually registered for it. Like 9 months ago? It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Under some
really I think
really
it was like
cheap,
February or March or something.
Yeah, it was like some super cheap discount code.
Yeah.
Because I think this, it was like, it's like basically the price of a 5K.
Right.
So at the time, being whatever it was, 7 months, 8 months, nine months out, was like, oh, why not?
Let's do it. Right.
So it wasn't like you were really wanting to do back-to-back races.
No. I guess we should mention that. I didn't purposely sign up for both of these with the intent of, oh, let me do back-to-back races. It was more like, oh, I really want to do this one. It's a championship race, and I've completed, you know, enough trail halves already to kind of be able to complete the series and get my series coaster. You know, and then, oh, okay, the next day happens to be Grape Stomp, which I wanted to do anyways, and we had a discount code for, so. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. Cool.
So I think that's going to kind of wrap it up, right?
I think so.
So, yeah, I think those... What are we racing? 2 weeks from now is
Rock and Roll San Jose.
So next weekend, no race, thankfully. We'll be training. I have to figure out what my long run's going to be. My training plan calls for 13. I might do 16.
Yeah.
And I'll explain the reason for that next week. I'll tease that, I guess.
Yeah. I don't have anything to keep you guys in suspense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's not that interesting. I'm just kind of kidding. But I've been going through my head the last 2 weeks, like, oh, should I do 13 that day or should I do more? And the reason, the reason for that is like the weekend after that, I'm doing the half marathon.
Right. Which you'll be doing 13.
I'll be doing 13. And then the week after that, my plan calls for 18. Mm-hmm. So to me, jumping from 15 to 18, although it's over a 3-week period, seemed kind of crazy.
Yeah, and I agree.
So, because as of now, my plan says 15, 13, 13, and then 18. And I think I'm going to change it to go 15, 16, 13, 18. 18. God, that's a lot of numbers. You almost, you know, you got to like math to be a marathon runner. And to some degree, you kind of look at these plans all the time as like calculating total weekly mileage and percentage of increase and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, that's what we got coming up. So I think that's it for this week. You want to tell people where they can find us?
Yes. The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com. So if you have any tips or advice on Goofy, please send us emails or post on our Facebook page. And that's going to do it for this week. So until next time, keep running.